Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Is the state of Oklahoma about to execute an innocent man? That's the question addressed in the all-new real-time documentary series Killing Richard Glossop on Investigation Discovery. The cameras follow Richard Glossop, who's been on death row for 20 years without any evidence pointing to his guilt, except the word of a convicted killer who claims Glossop told him to do it. Glossop has been given a stay of execution on three separate occasions. He will soon face a new execution date, which could be as early as this summer. Killing Richard Glossop is created, directed, and executive produced by Academy Award-nominated and Emmy and Peabody-winning filmmaker Joe Berlinger, a leading voice in nonfiction film and television for two decades, who's dedicated his career to exposing abuses in the criminal justice system. Among his landmark films, Brother's Keeper, The Paradise Lost Trilogy, which helped lead to the release of the wrongly convicted West Memphis 3 after 18 years of incarceration. Recently, Whitey, United States of America versus James J. Bulger. Glossop's defense attorney is Don Knight, based in Littleton, Colorado, graduate of the Ohio State University School of Law. His practice limited to criminal defense matters, and since 2001, an emphasis on federal death penalty trials, a number of those cases resulting in life sentences. Investigation Discovery's docuseries Killing Richard Glossop, airing Monday, April 17th, Tuesday, April 18th, both nights at 9 Eastern Pacific. With us on This Week in America, filmmaker Joe Berlinger and attorney Don Knight. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having us, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Let's go back to when the story began. What happened on January 7th, 1997?
Well, on January 7th, 1997, a man named Barry Van Treese, who owned the Best Budget Inn in Oklahoma City, at some point in time, returned to the motel on that very early morning hours, and later on in the evening in room 102, his body was found beaten to death. There was a maintenance man there whose name was Justin Sneed, who fled the scene on that day. A week later was picked up and under interrogation admitted at first that it was a robbery gone bad, that he did kill Barry Van Treese, but by this time the police had information that they thought and which I think they wrongfully did, is that they made a conclusion that Mr. Glossop, the manager of the motel, was somehow involved, and so they began to make subtle and not so subtle offers to Justin Sneed to get him to say what they wanted him to say. And in his confession, he then went ahead and said, I was hired by Rich Glossop to do this, and the police essentially at that moment wrapped up their investigation, and that forms really the outline of the prosecution against Rich.
And I understand there was... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, just to emphasize, there's no forensic evidence
right
from the crime scene linking Richard Glossop to the crime. In other words, the story that Justin Sneed told to the police is largely uncorroborated. You have, you know, it's a classic situation of a guy in trouble trying to lessen the severity of his punishment. You know, he got a life sentence instead of a death penalty case himself in exchange for implicating somebody else. And what the jury did not see, and it was a very flawed first trial and second trial, what the jury never saw was this attempt to manipulate Justin Sneed into implicating Richard Glossop. And it's just a very troubling case. And if it were the conviction alone, it would be a horrible story of how this conviction came about through incompetent police work and incompetent defense attorneys at the first and second trial. But then he takes this, you know, further bizarre journey through the entire post-conviction period. You know, all of his appeals get exhausted. New evidence is kind of shunted aside. And then he, as you mentioned in your open, is almost executed three times. And fate and bizarre circumstances and good lawyers all kind of coalesced into saving this guy for the time being. But can you imagine, you know, he literally had three last meals. You know, Oklahoma has a certain protocol where for about 35 days prior to execution, you go from your already deprived death row cell to another area where you even have more deprivation, where they're just basically preparing you to be killed. And this poor guy has gone through that process three times and has come within hours and in some cases minutes of being executed.
Yeah, I understand. On the last day, it was, what, like 45 minutes after the scheduled time when it was stopped?
Yeah.
That's right. We were waiting for the United States Supreme Court to rule on our request for a stay, and they ruled against us at, I remember it very well, 2 minutes to 3 o'clock. And that 3 o'clock was the time that the execution was to begin. So when the United States Supreme Court denied that stay, as we were outside of the prison, we could only imagine what was going on inside, which is they were starting the execution drugs, and they were starting to poison Rich. But instead, they were wrestling inside with this idea that they had the wrong drugs. And Rich was sitting in his boxer shorts in a cold, lit cell, waiting to hear something. 45 minutes went by before anybody told anybody anything.
And what's interesting is it was stayed not because there was some doubt as to his guilt and they were going to prolong this to look further into the case. As you said, it was what a lethal injection issue was the only reason it was stayed at that point.
Right, and the wrong drug.
Exactly, and it was the second time that there was a wrong drug situation that created the stay. They're not, you know, the state of Oklahoma is not looking into this case. They believe Richard should be executed, which is why the show is so important to get out, because there's a limited, you know, the bizarre twist of fate that allowed him to escape death because of the wrong execution drugs has given us the opportunity to quickly create this series to show all the problems with the case. And, you know, look, I think it's very important to take a balanced view, to show all sides. We interview all sides of people, all sides of the case in this show. Even though my personal opinion is that Richard Glossop is innocent, the show takes a more balanced view and takes people through the journey and just demands that all of these unanswered questions be looked into, because there can be, you know, I'm sure the good people of Oklahoma would not want on their conscience the killing of an innocent person. And so we need to look into all of the troubling questions that swirl around this case. You know, how could somebody be put on death row with no real physical evidence linking him to the crime? You know, jailhouse snitches and people with a vested interest in pointing the finger at somebody to lessen their own involvement in a crime is just so classic and prevalent in the criminal justice system. For that to be the only link to somebody being put on death row is just not how the system should work.
We're talking about Investigation Discovery's docuseries Killing Richard Glossop, airing Monday, April 17th, Tuesday, April 18th, both nights 9 Eastern Pacific, with us filmmaker Joel Berlinger and attorney Don Knight. This really, as I'm watching this, what I've seen so far, this really, it's in real time, it's an unfolding reexamination, isn't it? We're finding out things as they're actually occurring.
Well, and I think the important thing for people to know is our team, our defense team, struggled with whether we should allow a filmmaker to embed with us, to travel with us as we did this investigation. We didn't hire Joe Berlinger. We didn't hire anybody. Joe Berlinger agreed, wanted to do this story and asked us to embed with us, to go with us on our investigation. But we wanted Joe and his people to do their own investigation. You know, Joe says he may be convinced of Rich's innocence, but I don't think he would have been convinced of his innocence if he hadn't have done the investigation himself, if he hadn't have talked to the people that he talked to, people that, by the way, we couldn't talk to, like Justin Sneed. I mean, this is an investigation that Joe and his film crew did, and they reached their own conclusions, and I think that the people will watch this program with that in mind.
Yeah, we see some first-ever interviews with lead detectives and attorneys on both sides of the case. As I'm looking at this, I think it was 2015, two of five judges in the Court of Criminal Appeals were willing to consider new evidence in the case. One more judge would get there, would have at the time. Is that still the route you're trying to go?
Yes, ultimately we'll need to get back into court, and we'll hope that when people see this show, we hope that there will be people who will come forward, who have information, because this has been 20 years and people tend to forget, or maybe it's receded into the background, but we're fairly convinced that there were people who were in Oklahoma City at the time or talked to people who were in Oklahoma City at the time and who will give us information about who was where and what was said to them. anything like that, they can go to richardglossop.com and they can get the information to us. We need this new information. We have new information, but we're reaching out. And through this program, we hope to reach out to people who have never thought of coming forward, but who hear about it, and once again, it reminds them, and they come forward and tell us what they know.
Richard has said the state doesn't want to admit they got it wrong. Getting it wrong in this case is taking an innocent man's life. Is that possible?
Happens all the time.
I think so. I mean, we have 157 exonerees from death row for DNA purposes, and this is taking it to the next step, which is there is no DNA. There is nothing that can exonerate Rich as far as DNA is concerned. This is a situation where, again, Joe's film crew has looked at it. I've looked at it. I've looked hard at this case, and there just is no evidence that he's guilty. And yet, again, when it happens that his lawyers didn't hire investigators, they didn't get information out there. There was information we found that we've given to the Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals that had that been given to a jury, I think would have made a whole lot more difference than it did to the Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals. We're hoping for more information.
You know, and it's a human issue. You know, people may be listening and wondering, well, could a prosecutor or somebody in the criminal justice system really go to bed at night thinking they're killing an innocent person? It's more complicated than that. People are human beings, and what I've seen time and time again is that when you have tunnel vision and you think you've gotten the right result, people will lock into those positions, not necessarily from an evil standpoint of thinking, oh, I know this guy is innocent and I can't admit I made a mistake. They refuse to see it. They refuse to open their minds up to the possibility that a mistake was made, and that's a really tough thing to deal with. And, you know, it's why at the end of the day there shouldn't be a death penalty, because the ability to execute an innocent person, we've seen with DNA exonerations, is very high. And I mean, I spent 20 years on the West Memphis 3 case, a series of films called the Paradise Lost Trilogy, and, you know, I made that film with Bruce Sinofsky, and we arrived at right at the arrest of the guys, covered the original trials, and continued making films until those guys got out of prison in August of 2011, and all the original people involved with that case, despite mounting evidence, just locked into their positions and refused to admit they made a mistake. And I don't think they went to bed at night necessarily thinking, you know, we just have to kill this innocent person so that I can move on with my career. I think psychologically, people just have a hard time admitting they made a mistake. And I think that's what's going on in this case.
As you look into the case, it's not just Richard. Time is running out for Richard, but time is running out for so many like Richard around the country. But Arkansas is getting ready for basically a mass execution.
Oh, it's barbaric.
Now, it's horrific.
Now, just to be very clear, you know, the people who are being executed in Arkansas, you know, this mass execution in Arkansas, you know, nobody is claiming that these are wrongful conviction cases. It's just barbaric.
Yes.
Glossop is a guy who is, you know, actually innocent, we believe, which is, you know, the height of barbarism to take an innocent life. But, you know, one of my concerns about this cacophony of Trump noise and issue, you know, a daily barrage of things coming out of this administration and the way the press, frankly, is covering it, so thank you for covering this story, is that I just think people are so, who go about their daily lives, are just so overwhelmed with information that a lot of very important social issues are being neglected other than what's going on in the Trump administration. And right now what's going on with the death penalty is abhorrent. You know, Arkansas, as you alluded to, is running, you know, their lethal injection drugs expire at the end of April, so they're just going to try to kill 8 people over 10 days in a mass execution, which is just, you know, unacceptable. And with Richard Glossop, you know, you got a guy who's primed to be killed by the state of Oklahoma, who we think is actually innocent. And I think people need to stand up and make their voices heard, you know, particularly in the state of Oklahoma. I'm sure, you know, the citizens of Oklahoma don't want on their heads the idea that an innocent person is being executed.
It is a riveting docuseries, Investigation Discovery, Killing Richard Glossop. Now, it airs Monday night, April 17th, Tuesday, April 18th, both nights, 9 Eastern Pacific. With us on the program has been filmmaker Joe Berlinger and attorney Don Knight. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Look forward to the docuseries and a positive result from it.
Hey, thanks for having us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.